does work. It's really, really loud.
Oh, yeah. Scary.
Good morning. Welcome to everybody. And I believe Pearl and Kathy, you guys are ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Well, then we'll get started. I think we'll start with introductions. So, while I have the microphone, I'm Julie Johnson, the chairperson of the Board of Commissioners, and I'm from York, Nebraska. Who wants to start?
Go ahead.
Nance, here, Daryl.
Jim, me.
It's still on.
Daryl Walla. Here, put that in my. Daryl Walla, Omaha, board members.
I'm Jim Yurok. I am the designee of the American Council of the Blind of Nebraska, also from Omaha.
Mike Hansen. I am the designee from the National Federation of the Blind of Nebraska, and I am from Lincoln, Nebraska.
Nancy Oldman, from Hastings, Nebraska, board member.
Kathy Stevens, administrative assistant, Lincoln.
Carlos Serran, deputy director for the services, Lincoln.
Mark Bolger, American Council of the Blind, Omaha chapter, Omaha Council of Blind.
From ACB and State Vice President.
Katie Redenbaugh, Omaha, Nebraska, member of the ACB.
Brad Lowe's, member of the National Federation of the Blind, and just one of the huddled masses yearning to breathe free.
Barbara Lowe's, National Federation of the Blind of Nebraska, Lincoln chapter.
Conchita Hernandez, VR counselor, Lincoln office.
Alex Castillo, here's a client and an NFB representative.
Connie Daly, I want to sing on this. This is really cool. Commission for the Blind and Visually Impaired, Lincoln.
That sounded like karaoke.
Yeah, that's after the meeting, guys.
A little echo going.
Tony Olivero, First Vice President, National Federation of the Blind and Nebraska Lincoln Chapter from Lincoln.
Katie Regan, board member, National Federation of the Blind and Nebraska Lincoln Chapter from Lincoln.
Rob Eaton, NCBBI, Lincoln.
Paulette Monty, President, American Council of the Blind of Nebraska.
Barbara Epworth, American Council of the Blind, Omaha, Nebraska, also the OCB, Omaha Council of the Blind.
I'm Carol Jibalisco from Omaha, Nebraska. And I'm with the ACB also.
Norm Harms Transportation.
I'll get you his name, Kevin.
Kenneth Slavin, President OCB and member ACB and NFB.
Dan Bird, driver from Omaha.
Hubert Paulson of Lincoln, I'm doing the recording.
And last, Pearl Van Zandt, Director of the Commission here in Lincoln.
There you go.
Okay. Do I need the microphone?
Well, she needs a microphone.
Well, sure. They're going to complain if I don't use it.
Right. Yeah, we don't want to hear people complain.
Okay, good morning. I know I don't talk loud, so I'll use the microphone. Welcome again. I think we should have shorter meetings more often. We get a lot more people. So thank you guys for coming. The meeting agendas are available in Braille and print, somewhere probably by the door in the back of the room there. There are also copies of our Open Meeting Act, which are the rules that govern how we conduct our meetings.
There are also information about the public comment periods. We'll have time today for anyone that is here in attendance who would like to make a comment about anything related to commission doings. It doesn't necessarily have to be on our agenda. You can make a comment about anything that you like during that time, and I will take names and then call on people in the order that I receive your name so that we can keep it orderly. One person at a time speaks, so everybody has a chance to have their say. The meeting was announced publicly in a bunch of places. Do you want to tell us about that, Kathy?
Yes.
Okay.
The notice of the meeting was published in the Lincoln Journal Star, the state government calendar, the NCBVI website, NFB Newsline, Radio Talking Book, and the notice was sent to ACB and NFB presidents, and it was sent out to the NCBVI listserv.
Okay, I think I'll ask Daryl if he would like to read quickly through our short agenda.
Do that.
Do you want to hold the microphone for him?
Yeah, I can do that.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. Thank you. I apologize for screwing up on the introductions there. You probably heard whispering. I just assumed that we were going left to right, Jim, me, and then Pearl. And so I was sitting there holding the mic. Is that going to be first? Sorry about that. Okay. We have the call to order. We've done that. We did the public meeting policies. This is a short meeting. There's no lunch. Approval. Then we'll next move to approval of board minutes. Then we'll discuss and act on the state plan. Then we'll talk about utilization and of an organizational development specialist and discuss development of an executive director evaluation procedure and the methodology by which this would be carried out. Discuss and act on conducting an agency forum. Discuss and act on staff leadership training opportunities. Then we will have public comments. Then following public comments, we'll have a discussion of our next meeting for the 10th of August in North Platte. And finally, any final comments, and we're scheduled to be done here about 12:35 or so.
Okay, there you go.
Thank you. Are there any final announcements about details of the meeting? Okay. And as Daryl said when reading those, there is no lunch planned for today. We'll be done early enough. People can do that on their own. Okay, so our next item is approval of the May meeting minutes.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, there's a motion and a second. Is there any discussion about the May minutes? Okay. Just to clarify that the draft of those minutes has been available on the website or by request from the commission. All the commissioners have had the opportunity to read through them and make any changes that we felt necessary. So, a motion and a second. Let's have a vote. Nancy?
Yes.
Mike?
Yes.
Daryl?
Yes.
Jim?
Yes.
And I vote yes. So, the meeting minutes are passed. And what's next on our agenda?
State plan.
Discuss and act on approving the state plan. So maybe I'll give it to Pearl and she can update us on where we're at with that.
Yeah, I turned it off, so it won't
be back.
There you go.
That's another, it's off, Pearl.
Thank you.
Okay. We discussed a good part of the plan in the May meeting, and then we waited on a portion of it that we had to get some results from the federal standards and indicators before we could really set goals. And so that's the piece that was done most recently. But I could go through the whole plan if you prefer that.
folks? You mean each?
Go through in order.
Just the corrections. Oh. Attachments, you mean?
The attachments. Most of you know, but the first part of the plan, 20 pages worth of print, is called the preprint, and that's where you click boxes and say, yes, we do this, no, we don't do that, yes, we're structured as a commission, no, we, etc. And so those, you can certainly read through all that, but we don't, that's all really taken directly from the law, the Rehab Act itself. So then we get to page 21, and that's where we start the attachments. So I'll just start going, but stop me at any point if you... first one is input of State Rehab Council. We're an independent commission, so the commission board serves the role. We're not allowed to put any text in there that is populated from having checked the box that says we're an independent commission without a rehab council itself. Next, request for waiver of statewideness. That's if you were going to have something that was not available to everyone across the state, we do not request a waiver of statewideness. Next is the cooperative agreements with agencies not carrying out activities under the statewide workforce investment system. Here we talk about how we network and partner with a wide range of entities. We don't try to list every single one, but we do list some of the major ones. We also have to say if we do anything with the United States Rural Development Agency, which we do communicate with them in that we provide information to counseling staff about programs that would be maybe available to self-employed people with vision impairments, farmers, ranchers, and so on. Let's see. And then we just say that we're statewide and work with a wide range of entities. That really didn't change. I think we may have specified a little more specific, like Chamber of Commerce. I don't know if we put that last year, but so there may have been a few changes, but no real substance. The next one is coordination with education officials. We did generate a new agreement with Nebraska Department of Education and the Nebraska Center for the Education of Children who are blind or visually impaired, and then the school districts and educational service units. So a new agreement was generated this past year, and that's in place now. So of course we referenced that. Let's see. And I might say if you think of any other specifics, I don't know. But well, okay, so we talked about the transition guide that was developed in a partnership method and how that's being provided to educators, parents, consumers across the state. We still have lots of those we can provide if anybody wants them, by the way. And then at the last state staff meeting, we had a presenter from Nebraska Department of Education about our involvement with the IEP, Individualized Education Program or Planning Process. So I added that to the plan, and then I talk about our different programs, Winterfest, PI, wages. So those are always updated a little bit. Then the next one's cooperative agreements with private nonprofit organizations. There wasn't really a lot of update. Maybe a little bit more of connection with different entities. Just kind of glancing through. Then the arrangements and cooperative agreements for the provision of supported employment services. We are doing more now of a, what do they call it, milestones model that was initiated. Or the first time that we did it was in Scotts Bluff, and Bob Deaton has done training for our staff as well as developmental disability local field offices around the state, so they know what we do. So that it was added in. Then comprehensive system of personnel development. Here we update our staff. How many are in what positions, what the degrees or certifications are. And so those, that kind of thing is all updated. That's updated every year. Okay, let's see. And we talked about recruitment. We have started the, any time we have an opening, we send it to the universities in a fairly wide range in the Midwest. And I don't know that that generates any interested people, but at least we get those out there. And of course, we always have sent our opening, our position announcements to the consumer organizations and so on, so that we can have a wider field of possible candidates. Okay, then. And I talk in each one, I talk some about what the different trainings were done in that past year and what our basic plan is for the next year. Statewide assessment, that's where we update what we completed the previous few years and what the plan is. We are in process with a formal comprehensive statewide needs assessment right now, and some people have been contacted as clients or former clients or employees, or they're about to start a phase that's called key informants, and so that's in the works as well. That should be completed by the end of September of 2013, and so in federal fiscal year 2014, which is what the plan is for, that's when we'll be analyzing the findings of the study and seeing how to implement whatever those findings were. And of course, we always have done the public forum a way of assessing needs statewide by these meetings here. People having the opportunity to come and talk to the board about what they think is needed or whatever they want to tell us. And then I go to the statewide meetings of the ACB and the NFB and always, you know, seek ideas and input from people. And then other meetings, if you know, that might come up. The estimates, we update this each year. And let's see, just out of interest, what we say is that there's about 30,386 people in Nebraska with a severe visual impairment. And we get that from census data and blindness incidence figures from various sources. Of course, not all those folks need our help, but that's the population. And then the people that we serve, Title I is the voc rehab, Title VI is supported employment, and Title VII is independent living, with Chapter II being the older blind independent living part. So let's see, in 2012, we served 559 people in all voc rehab statuses, and 770 in the independent living statuses. Average cost of services is about $7,500. When you get an average, it really, we go from some people that just need referral and maybe a writing guide or some real basic kinds of things, whereas other people will send through many years of college. So anyway, that the actual cost can vary quite a bit. We project in 2014 that we'll serve 560 people with Title I, up to 30 people with supported employment, and it doesn't ask about all the independent living, so I guess I don't think I have that. The budget, we anticipate $4,028,470 as our Title I funds for next year. Then state goals and priorities. The goals, number one, increase the number and percentage of clients achieving competitive employment outcomes. Number two, increase the rehab rate for transition age clients. Can you still hear me? Mm-hmm. Okay. My hand was getting tired from holding it. I'm going to lay it down. Let's see if you can work. Maybe it'll still work. Number two was the rehab rate, increasing rehab rate for transition aged clients achieving competitive employment outcomes. And three, improve the quality assurance system. That's really our data gathering client management system. Then we look at the standards and indicators, which are the federal standards that every state agency is held to, the state voc rehab agencies, that is. And that's in another section, but that's addressed a little bit. Okay, order of selection, that just means do we have a waiting list, and we do not. And goals and plans for Title VI, that's the supported employment. I mentioned we expect to serve 30 people. Sometimes it's less, sometimes, I think last year it was 39 that we served. It really just depends on the people who happen to apply during a particular year. But the amount of funds that we have for supported employment is minimal, $30,000 for the whole year. And that has not gone up since for decades. It's been at $30,000. So we do what we can with that. We do actually a lot of networking with other entities to make that work. I could go into more detail,
Quick question,
yeah,
about,
sure,
the supported employment funds. But those are also going to be a VR client, so you could use the main funding source,
yes,
for a portion of their,
yes,
needs. Yeah,
that is right.
Okay. So it's not like that's it.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. But for the specific defined service of supported employment, which is job coaching, and it's a rigid definition, and they have to be eligible for continued service or continuation from developmental disabilities department. So it's more involved, but for that sort of service, we have to use the supported employment.
Right. There has been a lot of talk lately about the increase, real or perceived, of folks with additional disabilities beyond just blindness, and how we're seeing an increase in you know, individuals with multiple disabilities,
right,
including, you know, things that would fall into that supported employment category. Have you, I haven't looked at the numbers over like a 10-year thing. Do you see a trend towards, you said last year it was 39.
Right.
Is that just a 1 year high number, or is that like a trend?
It's never been that high before. And some years it's, we don't even get to the 30. It's been fewer. I can't think right now how many, but some years in the past five, it's been less than 30. There definitely are more people with multiple disabilities. There's no question about that. But the who is eligible for developmental disability services and supported employment is much more narrow. Mm-hmm. We could have a whole focus topic on that one day if you'd like. That might be a good focus topic. So, you know, I think that the whether it's a trend of more people that really are eligible for the developmental disabilities, I'm not sure. In general, absolutely, more multiple disabilities.
Well, I'm just,
does that make sense?
Yes. I guess I'm just thinking that $30,000 is, there's a formula that comes up. That's not going to change. Is
right.
that my, okay.
Well, so, actually, it's going to go away.
Oh.
That's what we're told, that in the budgets of, I want to say 2016, but I don't recall if it's 2015 or 2016, but that there will at some point no longer be a separate amount of funding for supported employment. It will all be included as part of the overall grant.
So we'll still have the same funds. They just won't be separated?
I believe that's true.
Okay.
So we'll be more free to make use of those funds. If we have more people that need it 1 year, we'd be able to make those arrangements. If we have less people that need it 1 year, we'll be able to use the funds for other things instead.
That seems like a good guess.
Time will tell.
Yeah. The part that relates to continued eligibility for developmental disabilities, we, you know, that's external. We don't have any real control or anything with that, except that we have to go by what people are eligible. So exactly how that will work, we don't know yet. But those eligibilities, I don't see that changing.
Okay.
I know that we have wages, which is an excellent program. And I should know this, but I don't. But we used to have kids work like under the, what is it, the CETA, then it was JTPA. Are there any of those programs that can help students, blind students and other students now, or have that changed?
I don't believe that workforce investment has any of those that are specifically like what you're talking about. And workforce used to, through CETA and JTPA, used to help fund our wages programs. But that's no longer the case.
I didn't think so, but I wasn't sure.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
Okay.
Now, just to follow up with this question, are the supported employment funds that we do get today, are any of those going to help fund the wages program itself?
Some years, definitely, yes. We just started wages. Carlos, are any of the youth that are in wages this year, do you know, or maybe Bob would know if they're supported employment?
No, they're not aware.
Okay. I didn't think so, not this year.
I guess kind of what I'm thinking in regard to the supported employment funds and the state plan is the long-term view. Because we are getting more people with multiple disabilities, whether they specifically fit into that supported employment category
yes.
or not. So I'm thinking we really need to think ahead So I would anticipate there's going to be a greater need for financial investment. They're going to need more equipment, more specialized equipment. You know, it's a narrower group than. Mm-hmm. So that's just my thinking. It's something we need to think about for the long-term plan.
Right. Equipment is one aspect of it, but the job coaching can be a really big expense as well.
Mm-hmm.
And for people that...
Yeah, and even specialized training. I mean, if people, like the deafblind individuals is one that comes to mind.
Right.
If they need to go to Helen Keller, then that's would be, Nebraska would pay for that.
Yes,
yeah.
And we do.
Right.
We do that. If they, you know, if that's the need for the service, we don't, everybody that comes in the door that checks the deafblind box doesn't get sent off to New York. But where it's needed and, you know, the client works with the counselor to assess their needs and their goals and their plan, then, yes, we have and we do and we will. Also, training for staff is something actually we've always done a lot of training for staff on working with all kinds of people with disability. I mean, all kinds of disabilities that aren't necessarily who we meet every day, but that are increasing in the population. So we always look at training for individual staff and things that they identify or their supervisor identifies as something that would be helpful. We also, for groups of staff, whether it's a district group or the center or more of a like team of program specialists or whatever. So we do provide a lot of training to staff in a wide range of concepts, issues, techniques, and skills. And I guess I say all of that as that is exactly the looking forward and the because we definitely know that we need to enhance the skills of the staff to be able to meet the needs of folks. So.
I guess I was just thinking, you know, in regard to the state plan, that that is a trend that we're experiencing and that, you know, we need to... That is what we do.
So hang on, just wait. Let's,
sure.
Pardon me. Pass the mic to Julie. Can you reach her?
Thanks. Is this on?
Yes.
Okay.
My comment was I think that that is a trend that we're seeing, and to include it as a part of our formal plan, you know, going forward. And I can't specifically remember if it was in there, but, you know, I think it's an important component of what we do. So.
I'm pretty sure that it's mentioned numerous times throughout the plan, the increase of people with multiple disabilities and the things that we are doing, the strategies that we do to meet the needs of those folks.
Okay, good deal. Yeah, it's been, I read the original state plan and then the revised one, I only read the revisions.
Sure.
So it's been a busy week for me.
Right.
So it's been a little bit, so thank you for refreshing my memory.
Sure.
Are you ready to move on with the next
piece? I am, I'm just looking. The next...
Can I get that back? If you're
thank you. Mm-hmm. The next section has to do with strategies, and it's really a lot of the things we're talking about that we've been talking about here. Also, outreach, especially to people that are from minority populations and who have the most significant disabilities, which often means multiple disabilities. Let's see, working with community rehab programs. Then we get into the improving the performance on standards and indicators, and here's where I talk about what the results were for 20
11 and 12. Let's see, I'm trying to, well, I guess the strategies section is just a little more general, so we'll get to the other details in a little bit. We work with the workforce system, and you know that this, most of you know, this past year we began co-locating one of our rehab counselors at the workforce one stop up in Omaha, and that has generated more referrals, and it also has helped for our staff to network with the other workforce people who maybe didn't know what we really do. Then, let's see. Just kind of going through. The one thing I haven't. Okay, just one second. Thank you, Hubert. Okay, Hubert just brought me a stand for the microphone. Thank you very much. Okay, a lot of what I've been talking about addresses those first two goals of increasing the successful employment rate and then the rehab rate of transition-aged clients. The third part relating to the quality assurance, we have started looking at, we have eForce, which we've been building for the past several years, and it's become a very good accessible system for all of us to enter our data and look up data on clients and have it all together, but it never was a reporting system. And also, as the federal government adds new regulations, we almost have to completely rework the thing. Especially right now, there are some new codes. A new requirement that we have to put in medical codes and a lot of data that we'll have to do quite a bit of training on. But in addition to the training, our current system is not, we're not prepared to do that. The other thing is we really want to link our client data with our financial systems so that when, if a counselor, if they're in the plan for employment, there's a specific item, whether it's tuition or training or an equipment, then that becomes linked with the purchase order, which becomes linked with the actual financial system that pays the bill.
Bless you.
Pardon me. I did try to turn away from the microphone. Pardon me. Okay, so we have begun looking at something that we actually looked at when I first became director, a system that we would purchase that is a full data management system. There are two that other agencies use. AWARE and Libera are the two. They're actually a lot cheaper than they were when we first looked at them. Years ago, it was going to be $500,000 or $600,000, and we didn't have anywhere near that. A lot more agencies use these, so they're more pervasive and they're much cheaper, and they're really good systems. So we are looking at accessibility, we're looking at usability and how well it would work with the Nebraska system. And very possibly we will be looking at purchasing one of those starting in 2014. We haven't completely decided it yet, we don't want to go into it without being absolutely sure that we'll
whatever training is needed for staff, whatever's needed with conversion can be done in a really smooth way, so it, you know, so that it does work well. So we're at the point right now of exploring those things, but
and that would replace the E-Force.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, yes. Yeah. So that would be a pretty big change, and I did add that into the plan changes in this recent iteration. Okay, then moving on to evaluation and reports of progress. So here's where I put in some figures. The last year, the first goal was achieving full-time competitive employment. And full-time is defined as 31 or more hours a week. That's, let's see.
Is that a federal, the 31 hours? A lot of companies have 30. They're considered 30 hours as full-time.
I know that I was thinking we got that from federal, but whether, why 30 versus 31, I don't recall. Do you remember, Carlos?
I think it's the RSA guidance.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. So, anyway, let's see. Well, I don't know. Do you want me to keep going on detail, or?
I don't think so.
Do we? Daryl says no. I mean, it's a. I could go back to that later if people want more details.
Everybody else does. I mean, I'm fine.
I'm comfortable with the plan as submitted.
Well, I guess my only question about this increasing competitive employment, mm-hmm. competitive full-time employment, is the how. I didn't see a lot of details in the state plan. I mean, it's great to say, yeah, we're going to do this, because I think that's always our goal.
Well.
But do we have a specific...
Well, I talked about the employment conferences, the networking with businesses, the partnering with entities and business organizations, the training that we provide to clients, which connects them with business, is a piece of that. The focus certainly on increasing expectations, helping individuals to elevate their own expectations and what they, you know, really want to work toward and achieve. That's all a big part of everything that we do. So to me, it's in there. But sometimes when you maybe I'm too close to it, and I don't.
No, I guess where I'm thinking is. And maybe I'm overthinking this. But we've had the goal to increase competitive employment mm-hmm. since, like, forever. It's kind of the whole point.
Right, exactly. Yeah. That's what we're about.
Right. But if we're doing the same things, then... we should get the same. So why isn't it maintain? You know, how are we going to increase? It seems like if we do the same thing, we're going to get the same results. And if we want to increase, we have to add or move forward or do something.
Maybe the key piece there, I think, is the same result is that we do increase almost every year. We do have more employment outcomes than the previous year. And so we want to continue having that result of increasing the employment.
Okay.
And the numbers are still the same as far as the clientele?
It's been pretty stable for quite a while.
I was
going to
say, you can increase outcomes and decrease the client load. That's the way to do that, but that's kind of understand.
Oh, so you get more hours.
You get more with less.
You could.
Yeah, that's where a lot of companies are going, more with less. But anyway.
But I don't see us going that direction.
Oh, well. No. I'm just trying to make sure we don't. That's why I wanted to ask the question. Because if you got, if you're serving 12 and all of a sudden you got 10, obviously the numbers are going to go up as far as employment. So. Because you're serving less.
The percentage might go up, but I'm not talking actual numbers. For example, and I have to find this in here, but the standards and indicators, the first standard is, one of the major ones is have at least one more successful outcome than last year. Well, that's a pretty low bar, at least one more. But this is what the federal people set. So if you increase at all, then you're going to meet that standard.
So this, that makes, I it's making sense now. Okay. That increase the number, that's a federal requirement. You have to keep increasing.
Yes. I'm trying to find... Okay, here's the section. Let me just talk about this a little bit. The, that's the goals. Okay, in 2012, I think this was the one where of all the standards, this was the one we didn't meet. You have to, in 2012, 39 people went into full-time employment, full-time competitive employment. In 2011, it was 42. So that one was less in 2012. And the percentage was down a little bit as well. Then the next thing is increase the ratio of average hourly earnings of clients who become employed compared to the average earnings in the state. So they compare the money our folks that get jobs make compared to what the general earnings in the state. And here we not only pass, but we're above by quite a bit. For the requirement is that it would be at a ratio of 0.72. The ratio for us was 0.803. So we achieved, that was 2011. We weren't able to get the state average earnings for 2012 yet. So we have to use the most current data we have, which on this one was 2011. But so we were, the people that were clients of the agency that got jobs were making more money than was required by the federal standard. So you know, we might have a few fewer, but they're really getting better jobs. So we are very proud about that. The transition rate has to be 35%. The goal was to increase the rehab rate for transition age clients to 35%. In 2011, our rate was 40.9%. In 2012, it was 48.15. So again, we not only met it, but we surpassed it.
Dr. Van Zandt?
Yes, sir.
You were mentioning that in 2012, 39 clients went into competitive employment.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Earlier in the discussion here, we were talking about supported employment, Title VI.
Yeah.
And the number served there, coincidentally, was exactly the same.
That is interesting, isn't it?
And I was just
actually, it was the number served, not on supported employment. It was total served, not okay. That got jobs.
Okay.
But it is a little funny that that would be. I think that's worth double checking.
It's not the same clients, is it?
No, it wouldn't
okay,
be.
Make sure.
I mean, they wouldn't be making this much money if they were supported. But it is an odd number, literally, and
it is. Yeah.
So I will go back and double check and make sure that there wasn't some error in editing there.
Okay.
It does seem a bit odd. Yes, Nancy.
I just have a question. We're talking about competitive employment and so
excuse
forth.
Excuse me one second. Do you need the mic for Nancy?
Yes.
I turned it off so you can pass it.
Oh.
There you go, Darryl.
There you go, Jim.
There you go. I tell you, it'll make its way.
There you go. It's a bucket brigade.
We need like three of these, Kathy. Can you arrange
sure
that next time?
We need two of them.
Mm. Yeah.
We'll see about if we can handle Great that. Port.
Yeah, put that on the loose hand. Okay.
Well, we were talking about competitive employment, and I was wondering about, I guess I could say back in the dark ages when I was working, when I started out, I was lucky enough to get above minimum wage. Minimum wage was $1.65 at the time, and they started me at $1.80, but I was not even considered part-time. I was 25 hours a week. 32 hours was considered part-time. And so if you were not even part-time, you didn't get things like, you know, paid insurance, that kind of thing. So the people that start at 31 hours, do they get things like, you know, the insurance thing, or That's does it time. Just vary from place to place, that kind of thing?
Okay.
Okay, Dan's bringing her up. Thank you, Dan.
Okay. Oh, were you going to address that, or
she was saying
come?
For oh, 31 hours was considered
full-time. Okay.
Hold on. It's on.
You know, obviously, you know, you guys do a good job of collecting data, and, you know, we do needs assessments, and, you know, so... You know, we're increasing employment and so forth like that. You know, you're not just making things up. I mean, you know, the data, I'm sure, is there.
Yes.
So, you know, I guess the whole question is, you know, what can we do to do better? You know, I guess that's kind of what Julie was asking, right? How we can raise the bar? Is that what you're asking?
Well, my thing is, if you do the same thing, you should get the same results. If you want something different results, you have to do something different. That's my abridged version.
Okay. Yeah. Kind of like the 60s song, yeah. Shake It Up.
And I believe Dr. Van Zandt explained to us after Julie's question that that you know it's kind of you know this is the goal there is an ongoing goal.
Yeah.
And she went back and showed us as examples the that in fact we are increasing on a year-to-year basis. So the methods that they're using to meet that goal each year, even though they might not change from year to year, they're succeeding.
This is covered.
Nice. Yeah.
Julie, it's up to you if we want to give this to
briefly. Yes, please.
Okay.
We can try this and Connie.
Yeah. Carlos and Connie both wanted to make a comment.
Yeah, maybe Connie has further details, but we mentioned employment conferences and on programs. We do things different each year, though, in those programs. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to mention that according to the trend and information we get to improve things in general. So in this report, it shows that we are doing the same thing, but within those programs, we are doing things differently each year.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to say the same thing. It says business contacts and things like that, but what we've done this year is become involved in networking groups and attend their functions and bring clients to those functions and bring them into our job class. We're also going to start a business advisory council in the Lincoln District. You know, so it sounds the same, but we are doing it differently. We are really looking at what we can do to be more effective.
What's the Business Advisory Council? Can you explain?
Well, we had a goal, and this is just for the Lincoln District. I can't speak for all the other districts, but we had a goal of embedding ourselves into the business community. And so we started by attending these groups, bringing in people for tours, learning more about their businesses. And we've developed a network of people that really want to help us. And so we are going to start a business advisory council where they'll meet with us once a month and help us with our clients, either resumes, mock interviews, and also using their contacts to help place our clients.
Wonderful.
Yeah, excellent.
Yeah, that is
That's
good.
Really cool.
So it sounds the same, but it's...
And it was my idea.
Right. Yeah. Right. You're good for something, Carlos.
Yeah, thank you for that detail. And also, I would say it sounds the same when we're talking in these broad strokes, trying to give you the big picture.
Right.
There is more detail in this new state plan about that. I don't remember if I use the word embedding, but much more the connections and partnering with businesses, Chamber of Commerce, LIBA, lots of entities. So there's more detail in here. I don't think I mentioned what the specific districts are doing differently, but yeah, if you put everything that all our great staff do every day in here,
right.
I mean, that's not the purpose of the state plan.
Okay. Right, but I still feel... I'll just shout. I still feel like...
That's what I told her.
We have this mic.
Kathy, let's take just a second. Kathy has another mic.
You shut that off and she can...
Okay. So we just have to synchronize our turning on and off, but we don't have to pass it. That's good.
Okay.
Thanks, Kathy.
Is this one...
Is it on?
No.
I don't think so.
No.
Where are you checking her on there? Oh.
Now you're on.
I think so.
You're lit up.
No.
No.
No, it's not on. It doesn't work.
It quit?
Don't worry.
Okay. Sorry. We'll go to plan B or okay. C, whatever we're on.
It's off. You have to switch it on.
Okay. Now I don't even remember what I was going to...
All that, and I'm not sure what I was going to say. I think it's... Okay, here, I found it.
Don't play with it in here while we go. Okay.
If we set a goal, this is my thinking. If we're going to set a goal that we're going to increase client successes, there's the word, then we have to know how we're going to do that. And whether that's put in detail in the state plan is not... Yeah, but the broad plan is in the state plan, and that's what it's meant for. But I still feel like we need to have a detailed idea in our own heads. You know, how are we going to accomplish this? And that's what I've heard today. You know, I understand that better. I mean, I don't think we need to have the all those fine points in the state plan, because it would go from whatever it is, 90 pages to 2,000.
Sure.
But we still need to know. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad that we're clear on that.
Can I say something?
Sure.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I just wanted to mention, when I'm working on the plan itself and those goals, one of the things I think about every time is that there isn't a goal that talks about elevating expectations and confidence that people have to really get good jobs, that have the benefits and chance for advancement and such that I think Nancy was talking about. But that is absolutely a part of who we are, what we do. Can you write it as a measurable goal? I don't know. So the goals that... Even the goals that we have, those three, nowhere near touch the actual goals that our people work toward. Our people, this time I mean staff and clients, we really have far more comprehensive goals at the office level, the district levels, those, and statewide to do a lot of things that aren't there. They're talked about in the plan, but they aren't a specific goal. But that doesn't mean we don't really work toward, that sort of thing. Does it? So I just wanted to mention that, because that's something that I really think about in doing the plan and writing in each year.
I do have a comment.
I don't know if this is the time to bring it up or not, but I just want to, maybe one of the things that could help, and I don't know if we need to write it in the state plan, but maybe some of the issues could be, we could get more, if we can get more people, through the center training, look at how we're doing that, maybe get more people in out on the jobs. That might be something that, you know, we could look at, whether we continue the 9-month training or look at other options or something, but maybe that would be a step that we could look at.
Yes, thank you. Can I comment on that? Okay. We are working with the districts and the center right now to really examine this issue of people in the, getting clients to the center. What do we need to do differently to make sure that that cohesiveness between the center and the field, that people are getting the preparation they need and that they will get what they need when they get to the center. And so we're looking at and working on all of that statewide right now. The other thing, we have increased the group teaching that we do in the field to help prepare people better, whether they can go to the center or not, to if it prepares them for the center, that's great. If it just prepares them to go on to getting a job, that's great too. So we have increased our our group teaching sessions in all of the offices for all ages, you know. So, and we have some that's more focused on independent living skills and some that's more on employment focus. So some of those things have really increased in the last several years. And I think I talk about those things in the plan. Right now I can't remember because I think about all that stuff all the time. But I think that the plan does talk about the group teaching that's done and other the workshops, other things that we try to do.
Yeah, it does.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Perfect.
Let's
move these.
So then as I just glance down through, those, let's see. Oh, and now here's the, let's see if I got all of those standards addressed. Standard 1.1 is the change in the number of outcomes. Okay, this is, the other report was from previous. This is the part that I've updated. Okay, 1.1 is the change in the number of employment outcomes. In 2011, and I can't figure out what was different before, but these are different numbers. 2011, we had 94 people whose cases were closed achieving employment. In 2012, it was 126. And I apologize for, in trying to glance through these 63 pages, I'm not sure what I was looking at before. But anyway, so we did increase by 32 additional closures from 11 to 12. So we passed that. Standard 1.2 is the percentage who became employed. Oh, the percentage of all the people you serve who become employed has to be 68.9% or better. That's the federal standard. Our percentage was 42.15 in 2011 and 56.5 in 2012. So we increased from the previous year, but we still did not meet the standard. That's the one that we didn't pass. But again, the next couple that have to do with the quality of the employment, I think is, we put a lot of emphasis on that. 1.3, the percentage that are competitive employment as opposed to like family a family job or homemaker, the percentage must be 35.4%, and ours in 2012 was 95.24%, far above what's expected. 1.4, the proportion of individuals with competitive employment outcomes who had significant disabilities, ours is 100%.
How could it not be?
Right. For an agency for the blind, it's kind of a no-brainer. The level that's required is 89%, but we pretty much have always been 100%. In the Rehab Act itself and the federal regulations, there are levels of significant disability, severe, more severe, different levels of the severity of the disability. With blindness, those are always considered significant disability. Okay, then average hourly earnings must be 0.59 or better. In 2012, that is, the ratio must be 0.59. You don't want people to earn
0.59.
In 2012, the average hourly wage for clients who became employed was $15.29. And the weighted average hourly wage in Nebraska was $18.56. So that makes our ratio 0.824 compared to the requirement of 0.59. So our folks are getting good jobs. Then the next one is self-support at closure. So when you come in the door and apply for services, we ask, what your support is, if you're supporting yourself or you're on disability benefits, or maybe your parents are supporting you. And then we can ask that again when your case is closed. So the percentage must be 30.4% or better. And for 2012, the difference for ours, it was 33.33% of self-supporting at closure versus opening. And then, yes, please, I can't open. The next one is minority ratio. This is one where, because of the makeup of Nebraska, we don't have a lot, but the ratio must be 0.8, and ours is 0.928. We only served very few people from a minority background, but our ratio is still better than required. So those are all of the standards and indicators. You must pass three of the primary and four of all of them, and we passed all of the primary and all but that one of the others.
Okay.
And then I think that's all of the update.
Perfect.
Okay.
All right.
Any other questions or discussion?
I just have one comment.
Hang on 1 second. I turned it off.
Okay. Just one comment, and this isn't really about the state plan, but it was something we talked about in there. And just as you guys move forward with investigating a replacement for eForce, when you're looking at Aware and the other software package, whatever it is, we do have other rehab agencies in the state of Nebraska. I mean, we have the General Rehab Agency. I'm not sure if they use anything like that today already, and there might be some possibilities to go in together to purchase a software package, or if they have something already, is there a way that we can piggyback on top of them to share in those expenses so that making best use of the tax dollar to, as long as it will meet the needs that we have. So just something to think about.
Okay. Do you want me to respond to that?
If you have a response, okay. That's great.
Sure. I always have something to say. We do collaborate with the general agency. They are part of the Department of Education, and so they are totally Apple-based. They don't use the Apples, but
Mac.
They don't use, they're Mac. They don't use the Microsoft systems. So, yes, they do have their own. They don't use one of the two that we could purchase, but they do have, they kind of like, they have their own e-force. They have their own internal system that they've built. But we have talked with other agencies around the country or the Midwest, especially that use Aware and Libera. So we are trying to see what we can learn, make sure we don't reinvent the wheel.
I was just thinking, I know that the state, in fact, mandated it when we went through the, when the state colleges went through and needed to purchase a new student information system. They required all the state colleges, all the state universities, and everybody just to, instead of doing their own thing, to play nice and to use the same product, and then that it was a significant cost savings for them.
Well, we can...
It sounds like if the state rehab agency is still doing their own software, we would just be getting into the exact same problem we're at right now.
Yeah, I think so.
Perhaps if they ever decide to do something else, they might come and ask us if they could, could buy into whatever we're doing at the time if we have an off-the-shelf product at that point.
That's very possible.
Okay.
And we do have a good relationship with the agency, so we talk about different things like that all the time.
Okay.
Thank you.
More discussion?
I don't think so.
I'm fine with the state plan as it is, and I'd be, I would offer up a, if you're ready for it.
Yep.
Okay. I would move that we approve the state plan as prepared today.
I would second.
There's a motion and a second to approve the state plan in its current form. Any discussion?
I would make one suggestion. There was a discrepancy with one of the numbers being the same.
I think we got that sorted out.
Oh, did we?
Yeah.
She was just reading.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I was going to say if. Okay. All right. I'll withdraw the suggestion then. So.
Okay. Any other discussion? Okay. Well, then we'll vote. Nancy?
Yes.
Mike?
Yes.
Daryl?
Yes.
Jim?
Yes.
And I vote yes. So the state plan is approved.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for all the detail.
Yeah.
Yes. Thanks.
Yeah, you got away with it again. No, I'm only kidding.
That's good. Thank you. Appreciate it. A lot of info.
Okay. We'll move on to our next agenda item.
You need a mic?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, I have
pass to. It, pass it. Okay. It's off.
It's off.
Okay. Does anybody need a break?
Oh.
Are we good?
Let's go.
We're behind.
We're 10 minutes behind.
Is that all?
That's it.
Not bad.
We actually made up time.
Okay.
Wait a minute. No, we're not.
We're
40 minutes behind.
Let's go.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll move on to our next agenda item, which is to discuss and act on the executive director evaluation method and tool or something. I think we'll start with Jim, who has some information to share with us on those requirements, and then we'll talk about it.
She did.
I did?
Yeah, the organization development specialist.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
You want to take it out of order?
No, we'll do organizational development specialist first.
Okay.
I think I was looking at the times and
so was
I got ahead of myself. Okay.
That's what happened to me.
Yeah. So, organizational development specialist. I think that one's Mike. He knows the most about that.
There you go. If not, you do now.
So, just as an update, we have... spoken to a consultant at this point. Dr. Fred Schroeder came in
2 weeks ago, and we spoke with him about the subject for an afternoon, and he gave his, this, he would not be somebody who we would bring in to help us with this, but with his diverse background in the field, we wanted to ask him his opinion on the process, and he gave us some good feedback related to that, and gave us some things to make sure we watch out for. We've also reached out and spoken to three different companies at this point as possible groups that would be that could come in. One of them told us it was something that they're not interested in doing at this time. They have enough business at this point that this was a project they didn't feel that they could devote the appropriate amount of time to. We've also learned here in just the last day or two that the state EAP contract is actually has been awarded to a different company now. So in the past, it had been
Best Care.
Yeah, it had been serviced by Best Care out of Omaha, and now it is a company. I believe it's called Deer Oak out of Houston, Texas.
Hmm.
And
why are we outsourcing?
So that's all I know at this point. So we're going to be looking, getting a hold of them and finding out, speaking to them a little bit. And that will take effect on July 1, so I have no problem getting a hold of them now at this point since it's so close, and so we can start moving forward with that process here in the next, as soon as we possibly can here in the next month or so. Is there anything else you want me to add to that, Julie?
No. Is there a cost to this, or...
Yes. Yeah, there is. If we were to go through an agency that is handling the state EAP contract, mm-hmm. There are certain services that are covered by that contract, which would be cost free, which would be free to us. Mm-hmm. The types of things that we've talked about at the last in the meeting in May about asking them to help us with are things. definitely a portion of them would be things that would be outside of that contract. So there definitely would be a cost, even if we went through the company that holds the state EAP contract. If we go with a company that's, if we go to another company other than the one that holds the state EAP contract, then of course all the services provided by them there would be a fee for. And exactly what that fee is, we don't know the exact cost at this time. That's part of the conversation that we've had so far with these groups when we talk to them about. I look at it as ballpark numbers. I mean, are we talking about $2,000? Are we talking about $50,000? Because there isn't going to be, they're not going to be able to give us an exact cost at this point based on. Until there's a plan put in place. So it's just based on, other organizations that they have worked with and what has, what it's taken to work with them and with those other organizations. That's all they're basing that on at this point. So.
And then the question I would have is, I assume...
Why don't you just pass?
Yep.
Well, I got to get that. I then assume that the question then becomes, assuming, obviously we're not going to hire anybody today, we don't have enough information.
Correct.
But assuming that we decide to go down this road, the question then becomes, where does the funding come from? And we have to make sure that if we hire someone, that the funds we use do not jeopardize the services of the clients.
Mm-hmm.
That's my comment.
Right, and I think two things. At our last meeting, we did decide to go forward with hiring an organizational development specialist. We hadn't picked that person out, but
right.
We did make a vote, unanimously decided to move forward with that plan. And my understanding has been that we intended to use Social Security reimbursement funds.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
I don't remember
Thank
that part.
Thank you for clarifying.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it wouldn't interfere.
Okay. Right. I don't remember that part, Social Security, so...
I'm just a little bit curious about, we had Dr. Schroeder come and speak to you, and you indicated, he indicated some things that you should look for or beware of or mm-hmm. be cautious about. Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Sure.
You know, some of them were some no-brainer type things. You know, looking for references, any company that is reputable in doing these types of things are going to be willing to give us a list of references of customers that they've worked with. My initial thought on that was, you know, is that something they're going to be able to do, because these types of things are fairly confidential. But he said absolutely they would be able to. You might not get specifics about their exact situations and so on, and that would be up to that other company to share, but definitely generalities. And so we talked about that quite a little bit. We talked about, we discussed, and I'm not prepared to discuss them here at this point today, but we did talk about some of the observations that we've all made of the different situations within the department or within the organization within NCBVI at this point, how some of those might be able to be addressed. But that was just all general comments. We all agreed that those things needed to be identified. Those things, any resolutions or steps, an action plan, I guess, needs to be, we want to work with the consultant to develop that. So we didn't think that any of the topics that the ideas that we threw out were set in stone by any means, because we wanted the expert opinion of whoever we engaged to help steer what those actions are going to be. Does that help answer your question?
Yeah.
Okay. So. Yeah. So I mean that's kind of what the topics of conversations were when we met with him 2 weeks ago on Wednesday. Okay. So did you want to add anything to that, Julie? Since you were part of that.
I do have a question. Comment.
Hold up.
There you go, Merrill. I think too concretely, but my question is, will the survey or will the consultant look at what has changed since, you know, 10, 15 years ago? Because when I went through some center training in 1998 and things, things were really, everything was cohesive, everything seemed anyway to be wonderfully good. So what will we be able to get to the cut to the chase and figure out why has certain things changed, maybe a change in morale? You know, if we don't get to that issue, why have a consultant?
Oh,
who wants to?
Go ahead,
Julie.
Go ahead.
Yes. That's the whole purpose of having a consultant come in is to help us get through. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know necessarily. I mean, a lot of the employees have been around for a long time and could give information about the past. If the consultant wanted to have that comparison or look at that, I don't know if they will, or if it's more important to look at where are we at right now and where do we want to go.
And that could have been my perception too. I don't know, but I'm just
right
throwing everything out there.
Yeah, but that's the purpose of the development specialist. Mike and I and Pearl also did meet before we talked with Dr. Schroeder about kind of our feelings about the organizational development specialist, what we wanted to see out of that company, and some possibilities. We crossed some off the list and have it narrowed down to right now. I think we have two that look like good possibilities.
Two, and then. Since we now have a third option that we need to investigate with this.
Oh, the new.
The Deer Oaks.
Right.
That we have to at least call them and start and talk to them initially.
Okay. So, I mean, we're making progress. We, are narrowing it down, are focusing in on what it is exactly that we're looking for. Pearl sent a lot of documents from the group that presented at the state staff meeting, and they're services that they would provide. And we're not going to go with that company, but it was good to look at kind of their plan. So it got me to thinking about
possibilities,
you know, yeah, what the options would be, because I have, you know, no idea what the plan might look like or how involved this might be. So we're making progress.
We'll revisit it in August.
Yeah, so our next step, Mike is continuing to talk with the different companies, and they're talking amongst themselves to see if it's a project that they even want to take on, and you know, we're looking at narrowing it down further. But I think by August we should have we would have somebody selected, and we would be ready to move on.
Yeah.
Other questions or discussions? Pearl, did you want to add?
I have one.
Sure. Oh,
just to say, we're not waiting for an outside consultant to, you know, do anything about morale and services. I mentioned earlier that in the offices across the state and in the center, we are already engaged in discussion about how we can bridge gaps that might be there, increase population in the center, enhance services overall, build job opportunities. So all of those things we are working on.
Yes.
Yep.
Thank you.
Fantastic. Thanks for working on that, it's Mike and Julie.
Mm-hmm. I turned it off.
Turn it off. It's on, Julie.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely. I should have mentioned, but you know, we're not all sitting on our hands waiting for somebody else to come in and fix it. Yeah, that's right. not the plan at all. It's just an additional resource to keep the momentum. That's kind of the way I look at it. Okay, any more discussion about organizational development specialists?
I don't think so.
Okay. We'll move on to the discuss and act on developing or looking at the executive director evaluation method. So now Jim gets to talk.
Now I get to talk.
Okay, it's still on.
It's still on. All right. At the suggestion of our illustrious and ever popular chair, I had contacted the Attorney General's office shortly after the last meeting, as there was some feedback, comments, what have you, that were made regarding why are you folks evaluating an executive director in public? It makes no sense. At least that was the comments that were kind of suggested. So what I did was I called the Attorney General's office because there was some understanding, rightly or wrongly, prior about how things were done. So when Jody finally returned my phone call, which happened to be during lunch at the employment seminar, I stepped out of the room, and I explained to Jody how we had done this in the past. And what was suggested to me was that the performance or the evaluation of the executive director was somewhat spelled out in state law. She suggested that that there was a section in state law 42.15, don't quote me on that, that talks about executive session. And it talks about what the reasoning is and why you can justify an executive session. It was suggested that what we as a board needed to do was we needed to approach Pearl and ask her what her preference is on conducting the evaluation, i.e. give her the choice, do you want it in public, do you want it in executive session? When I raised the question about assuming the fact that Pearl decides she wants her executive direction, her evaluation in public, I said, does the board have to agree to that stipulation? And her response was yes. So as it currently stands, we as a body need to give Pearl the choice of, do you want your executive session or your annual review in public, or do you want us to make a motion to go into executive session, discuss it, and come back out with the findings? That's number one. Number two is, of course, it was mentioned last month that, and Julie can probably help me correct some of this, that the state of Nebraska is moving to a unified tool, a measuring stick as far as employees are concerned and evaluations and performance and so on and so forth.
Yes.
And it was suggested at the meeting last month that there were some on staff that weren't happy with, didn't like, or thought the...
Wasn't accessible.
Yeah, you're right, it wasn't accessible. That tool was not accessible. But that there were some staff that weren't too happy with the current method that we use for evaluating Pearl. So right now, as far as that's concerned, we haven't tackled that part of the issue yet. But I will suggest this, that Paulette did send out a documentation on what was used back in Wisconsin. I'm going to tell you what, Paulette, that was an excellent document that was sent out.
That wasn't written in Wisconsin. I wrote that because it's been a concern of the nonprofit directors of rehab agencies through Vision Serve Alliance.
Okay. All right. Regardless, it was a good document set out, and we may go that route, we may not. That's not on the agenda today, but... Well, it is, but as far as this, so there's two things as a body we need to decide, or we need to at least look at. Number one is, how do we want to conduct the executive director's evaluation going forward? Do we do it in public or private? And number two, what do we do come next May, or next March or April, when we go to this single payer, or this single unified online tool for evaluation? So, folks, that's my update. I'll turn it back to Julie.
We did receive an update about the state of Nebraska personnel evaluation tool thing and the accessibility of that. And I should back up and explain and make sure that everybody is very clear that the tool that the state of Nebraska is developing, and that they're saying they're not going to approve any other tool but theirs going forward, that is only for the employees of the agency that the state of Nebraska, the personnel covers. We as a board can choose any evaluation tool that we feel appropriate to do Pearl's evaluation. Those are two separate things. My thinking was that for consistency, it made sense. There's already a tool. Why reinvent it? Then we would have the same evaluation tool for everyone.
Right.
And it just sounded great and simple and straightforward until we found out it's not accessible. So there's always a catch. And as I understand it now, that tool is still not where it needs to be. It's not fully accessible, fully usable.
Correct, and we, the agency, are not using it until it is made to be accessible.
Right. Just to repeat what Pearl said, the agency will not be using it until it is accessible, which will hopefully happen before State of Nebraska personnel says that we have to use it, because that could put us in a sticky spot. But we'll figure that out when that comes. So that's kind of vague, and I don't know if it's a good idea to plan on being able to use that tool without having a specific timeline or any guarantee.
Madam Chair?
Yep, go ahead. I'm out of comments.
You want to go?
I was going to say something, but that's fine.
Nancy?
Okay. My question to you about this whole thing is, you know, whether it be public or private, but from what I understand, the correspondence that we received and what we talked about last May, that we needed to do the evaluation during a public meeting, but in executive session. And my thinking is this, if generally speaking, we spend a minimum of an hour evaluating Pearl's performance, are we gonna lose the people that come to be with us? And I really, in my mind, I just don't see the purpose of, if we're gonna do it in private, why does it have to be at a public meeting?
Because it's state law.
It's the law.
State law.
Julie, can I
comment?
I've got a speech.
Thank you.
Thanks, Neil.
I have to say that we need to do more follow-up because the original, the direction we got a few years back about that we must do the evaluation in a public meeting came from Dale Comer, who is one of the assistant attorney generals. He is, in fact, Jody Gittin's supervisor, and everybody considers him the expert on public meeting law. And that's, in fact, where I first learned about it, was at a session he was doing for agency directors about public meeting law requirements. And Jody Gittins is also, she's the attorney general that's assigned to our agency. She's a very knowledgeable as well and has been, you know, an excellent resource for us in working through legalistic issues. But because we're getting a different take on the law from two attorneys in the AG's office, I really feel like a decision should not be made here. Let me research it further. I'd like to have a conversation with Jody and Dale together. And, you know, if we want to have one or more of the commissioners on the phone as well, absolutely, that would be fine. Might be good.
I think it's appropriate.
You know, but we need to not just bounce back and forth to interpretations and you know, all the different concerns like what you just mentioned, Nancy. Those are things that will need to be worked out, but let me do a little research first.
I'm going to make a suggestion.
Okay.
I'll take the mic. Thanks. I want to make a suggestion. I didn't realize that, you know, Dale was over this. I want to make a suggestion. When you talk to him, when whoever talks to him, I want something on their letterhead that says this. That way we're not bouncing back and forth, and, you know, it can be, you know, stored wherever, probably put in the commissioner's packet. That way there's concrete evidence and so on and so forth. The other comment that was made to me, and obviously we're not going to decide this today, is, and I realize state law figures into some of this stuff, is the comment that was given to me was, what board evaluates a director in front of their employees? I mean, if you stop and think about it, it doesn't make sense. I realize there's state law that maybe, you know, dictate that, but just keep that in the back of your mind, too. So,
can I follow up on that?
Go ahead.
You know, and I think Connie, one of the employees, said that, you know, it probably, should be an executive session. And I think that's a very valid point.
I agree with you.
Because, you know, as a commission board, I don't know, I guess in my 8 years, I don't, you know, feel like we get enough information. We can't, not that we're on witch hunts or anything like that, but if we want information, we need to be able to talk about it. And I think executive session is done. Good idea. It's a good idea.
What can
and maybe Connie would like to?
Or at the beginning.
No.
Yeah.
No?
Okay. Okay. Sorry.
Well, I will give it back to Julie.
Okay, here's my plan.
Okay.
What's what I'm going to propose we do. I am going to suggest that Jim and Pearl work with the Attorney General's office to get a final
decision.
Determination, interpretation, there's, you know, of the law in a permanent format.
I want
electronic,
it
on a piece of paper,
I want it in writing.
So that we have it to look back at and it's there.
And
we don't have to go by our memory. Could you guys do that and have that by the next meeting?
This will be back on the agenda in August.
Okay.
All righty.
So that aspect addresses the public versus private executive session in meeting, out of meeting, that aspect of what we're talking about. That's settled. Okay, so the next thing to this agenda item is what in the world tool are we going to use to conduct the evaluation wherever we conduct it? And that's where we're talking about the state of personnel tool that's being developed that's not accessible, or the tool that Paulette sent us, or the survey in some form or another that we are currently using, or something else that we haven't thought of. So that will be our next thing. There's a lot of resistance to the survey that we're using currently.
Madam Chairperson?
Yep, Mike.
Okay. My thoughts on that is that we just need to table that for a later date.
I agree.
The reason is that we need to be able to review the tool that Paulette sent, whether that's something we go with or whether it's some form of that that we alter to meet our needs. When we talk about the tool that the state of Nebraska is going to use for the rest of the rest of the staff, that's literally all we know, is that it's a tool. We don't know how it works, what it's done, how the evaluation is conducted. We don't know, we can't just say we're going to use this. We don't even know how it works. So we need to find some additional information, and then we need to find some additional information and then come back and have a discussion about the pieces that we want to put together to conduct that. And I think it would be only appropriate and fair to Dr. Van Zandt that that's decided no later than February, our February meeting or January meeting, so that it's decided in advance before the evaluation actually happens. It would have been nice to have that all done by the May meeting, so that the whole year is she has the understanding of what criteria that would be utilized for her to be evaluated on. And I think that when the evaluation is conducted in May, that needs to be taken into consideration, that whatever process is used, Dr. Van Zandt hasn't had that information for the entire year that she's being evaluated on. You know, we're throwing a process in place to evaluate her, and she for an entire year's time frame, and she might have only known about what that process is for three months. So I think we need to go back and get more information on what these tools are and share that with each other and discuss it at a later meeting so that we can act on it and have a decision made no later than February.
Might I suggest that we use the current survey for next year?
Hold on, Darrell, let me give you the mic.
Matt, we use the current survey for next year, the thinking being that there will be two new people next year on the board. They could act on this in February or May, and then you would have time for Pearl to know exactly. She'd have a year to look at the valuation standards. And would that be more fair to her? Or
I can live with that.
Comment.
I have a comment.
That's good.
To me, the ideal situation would be to use both the survey and implement the new tool. That way there's comparison of how the two overlap.
Okay.
So, because if you change to a new instrument that you're using to measure progress or success, you don't have any history with that.
Yeah.
So having the other survey, you know, you have the history with that. You can look at how that's done. Then you can look at how the new and the old compare, so you can get an idea of progress from past year to present.
And
does that make sense?
That's legal, because we're comparing, you know, still she's being judged on that criteria. You can do both.
Why not?
Yeah.
It is up to us to decide what
okay.
the process is.
Gotcha.
Yes.
I think February is a long time.
True.
Well, yeah, I agree.
Sounds good.
My thinking is I would ideally like to have something that we're seriously considering by the next meeting.
August?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I can live with that.
Okay.
And, you know, we can look at all different things, but the instrument that Paulette sent.
It's a great tool.
I did look through. We were sent that, and I have looked through it. Just kind of a general overview. I haven't really thought about each individual piece. I mean, it's very detailed. There's a lot in there. So, I mean, you could sit and contemplate it for hours.
You could.
On first review, though, it looks very good. And so I think that that's something that we need to seriously look at and consider. My issues with the State of Nebraska personnel tool, although, you know, what I've been told, it sounds great, it has all this testing, it's been used, and people are very happy with it, and it sounds wonderful. We have no idea if it's going to be available. So I'm uncomfortable with choosing to go that route, and I don't think it's a good idea to keep changing either. You know, every year have a new tool, because that just creates all kinds of inconsistency issues. So, can I have a couple of volunteers that would like to work on researching? Jim's volunteering.
I'm going to volunteer Paulette, too.
And Paulette, Nancy, or Daryl, do one of you guys?
Don't mind Paulette.
I'd help out. I'm interested in surveys.
Okay.
I mean, it's kind of like when you go to the doctor and they see how much pain you have. Well, you're going to say 6 or 7 see.
I don't.
Okay. So Daryl, Jim, and Paulette are going to look at Paulette's tool and entertain the notion of other options and present their findings at our next meeting so that we can make a decision about what we want to do.
That's right.
We're good with that?
It's a good tool, guys. We ought to use it.
Okay. I'll have to look at that.
The one thing I would say on it is it probably needs to be tweaked to fit your calendar cycle as opposed
right.
to a calendar year.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's a very easy, very easy thing to change.
Paulette, you and I will talk after Ohio.
Okay. Any further discussion about evaluations and tools and whatnot?
Back on the agenda in August.
Sounds good.
Okay. I need a break, guys. So let's take 10 minutes and then we'll reconvene.
Okay.
Sounds good.
All right, thank you. Right. If everyone would find a seat, we'll get started.
Okay, I move with you.
What's our next thing?
What's our next thing, Derek?
We got those two things. Point. Let's see, what are they doing?
Discuss and act
agency forum. Forum and the organizational thing.
We did that.
Oh, yeah.
Agency forum.
Okay, agency forum
and then
the
training.
Leadership.
Training.
Leadership.
We've already kind of discussed that.
Staff leadership training opportunities.
Okay. We'll get started. We only have a few. I think these topics will be briefer and we'll be able to get done reasonably close to time. Thank you, Jim.
That was Daryl.
Sorry. Okay, so our next agenda item is to discuss and...
Can we have a quiet, please? Thanks.
It's a teacher.
I just lost my train of thought.
I'm sorry.
At the agency forum. Discuss and act on having another agency forum. This agenda item is a return. It wasn't felt that we resolved this issue last time, so it was carried over to this time. The original thinking was that at the end of the state staff meeting this past April, that there were some unresolved issues and that perhaps we should have an agency forum to follow up on them. So do we have discussion?
I can make a comment.
Okay.
I think that this is this might be something that we could talk about at a later time, but that since we are moving forward with
bringing an organizational development specialist in, that this is something that we should address with them, and if it's something that we want to pursue at a later time, that we work with them to conduct it that way. They get the benefit of those of that conversation as well, and we're not bringing up all the same topics multiple times. And we'll get the most out of the effort if we wait and bring that topic up with the consultant.
Yeah, I think agreed. It dovetails with that.
Okay.
The specialist.
Okay. Any more discussion? Excuse me. I think I'm in agreement with Mike that it makes sense to incorporate that into what we're doing with the organizational development specialist.
Right.
as part of that plan. Any more discussion?
Nope.
Pearl, do you have anything to ask? Then we'll move on to our next item, which is to discuss and act on staff leadership training opportunities. Jim, did you want to talk about that?
Nope. I can.
Okay, good.
I put it on the agenda because I don't know that we came to a conclusion last month. Maybe we did, and I missed that part of it. There was some suggestions or comments or feedback or what have you on the staff survey. I think that's hinted that, you know, that there might be some opportunity for staff to partake in leadership training, and some didn't feel that they were given that chance or opportunity. I guess that's why we put it on the agenda. But I think, having heard some of the remarks made earlier when we were talking about the state plan, I think that's pretty well addressed. As long as staff are presented the opportunities, if they don't take the opportunity, then I guess that's not for, you know, that's up to them. I think it's been addressed somewhat in the state plan when we were talking about it earlier, so I'm fine where we're at.
I agree.
Sorry, I'm chewing. I got caught. Thank you.
This agency provides a lot of opportunities for individual staff as well as groups of staff in a wide range of training, and if there's any time where an individual staff member feels like they are prevented from getting training, if they would talk with me directly, then we can address that and make sure they get the training that they need, and I'm committed to that. I mean, we have a huge emphasis on being a continuous learning, and so that's certainly something that I would encourage all staff. If there's something they want training on, we already have a really good system. They talk to their supervisors. We pretty much approve everything that comes to me for the most part. But if there's any barriers to that, I need to know specifics, and I'll be glad to work on how can we make that work for that person's schedule or whatever it is. So we just have a real strong commitment to training, and that won't change. Thank you.
Okay. The only thing I was going to add to that was that Dr. Van Zandt did send something out to the commission board here in the last week or so regarding one staff member that's going to be attending some training here over the course of the next year. I think it's several sessions. I think I read it was four sessions. And it was specifically on management in a rehabilitative agency. Uh-huh. And I just found that was extremely interesting reading through the synopsis of what what each session was going to be. what the subject matter of each session was going to be, things that I would never have thought about. It's really geared towards not only management in general, but management specifically in a rehab agency. And
that West Majors was going to be going to this over the next couple of, the next year, and that other staff have done this in the past. And it was just, it looked like a great opportunity, and I was glad to see that that was being pursued.
Thank you. And if others want to, they can let me know.
More comments, questions?
Nope.
Nope.
Okay. If there are no more comments or questions on the staff or leadership training opportunities, last chance? Okay, we'll move on to our next agenda item, which is public comment. So if anyone is still awake and would like to... Connie, okay. Anyone else?
Conchita. Barbara Rose.
Connie, Conchita, Barbara. Okay, let's go with those three and then...
Mark.
Four. Okay, then we'll go from there.
Connie.
I really admire how much the board cares about our agency, because that's very, very evident in everything you've been doing in the last few months, that you're very concerned and you really, really want to help. The concern I have about the staff survey is the way that it's been utilized sometimes by staff has been to bring up issues that may or may not be the case, or might, you know, there's lots of different variables in it. And you read the comments, and then in times you've stepped in and suggested things when you do not work here, you don't understand the politics, and I think it can be very dangerous for you to do that. And so, I understand the need to get staff input. I don't think this tool has been a very good resource for that. In fact, at times it's been used to attack other staff, which, you know, we always kind of just wait for the other shoe to drop when these staff surveys come out. So just my comments about that.
This is Conchita speaking. I have a couple comments. The first one is about staff in general. I get the impression that I don't know how much you guys have spoken to staff to make some of these decisions that directly affect staff. For example, the evaluation. Why are staff not taking the evaluation? And the proposed idea of having two evaluations, we should talk about, really, is that something that staff is going to do? I do not believe staff are going to take two evaluations. They already are hesitant to take one. So I believe we need to kind of keep staff in mind more when we're having these type of discussions.
Could I respond real quick
to go
that?
Ahead.
The two evaluations that we're talking about, it would only be for 1 year, and it would be for Pearl's evaluation. So looking at, if we go with Paulette's evaluation that she's emailed us, or something similar, those would not involve you guys filling out a survey. That would be information that the board would collect and do ourselves. So what I am thinking, you know, the future could look like with that evaluation tool is that it would be one more year with the same survey that you're used to, and then we would use the new evaluation tool that most likely wouldn't be staff input, so that we can have those two to compare, and then ongoing we would have, if we kept the survey, it would be in a different, it wouldn't be the same that it is currently. We would revise it to be less about an evaluation tool and more about an agency survey, and then that's, I don't know
how that would play out. That would be a decision the whole board would need to come to. But that's kind of my own interpretation. But just to clarify this whole evaluation thing, that's just Pearl's. The state of Nebraska personnel department decides what they're going to do for the regular employees. The board doesn't get to pick.
Julie?
Yes.
You might want to add that the evaluation tool that I did send does require some face time with staff.
Okay.
By the commission board.
Okay.
I'll just repeat that, that Paulette just said the evaluation that they're considering does require some board consulting with staff. Right. Is that what you said?
Yes.
Basically. Mm-hmm. And now back to Conchita.
Thank you, Paulette. And I have no idea what the survey looks like, but I think, yet morale is very low. And I think one of the reasons is staff does not feel included in these decisions. So I would highly recommend that when looking at the different surveys that you talk to staff in a confidential manner and get their opinions. So those are my points.
That's the question I've been wanting to ask if we can ever do that, because we need to have more comments like
you
that.
Mean the evaluation that we use for Pearl? That's what you want staff input on? Or I'm not...
Well, yeah.
Why should we do they that? Should.
Right, yeah.
They're
staff.
They should.
Pearl.
I agree.
I don't know.
I have to think
I
about that.
I have to think about that, too.
Yeah.
Subordinates don't usually get to decide what their superiors do for evals.
Let's move
but
on.
You've already asked for an input.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. What's Barbara was next?
Yeah. Okay. I asked for a criteria.
Okay, the thing that I want to comment on is the when people were talking about the group sessions for people in the different districts and I think that those can be a good thing. I think that they also can be a situation where, and I go way back with this agency, back into the 60s and 70s, and there used to be some of those kinds of things where we would go, and I was both a client and a staff person over time. And one of the things that used to happen was that there would be groups of people gotten together to work on things for a period of time and then not. You'd go back or whatever. Everybody, if we just got feedback from the people who participated, everybody loved them. But I think that one of the things that really needs to happen with things like that is that there needs to be something that is to lead to. Because what can happen is that people can do well during those and then feel real good about it, but then not really progress toward whatever their actual goals are. And so while they may be a fun time and to some degree a learning time, they can also be a time for just kind of plateauing. And I guess that would be my suggestion or my comment about that kind of thing. Training, whatever it is learning how to live in the world as a blind person and go out there and participate needs to not be within people's comfort zone. I just have read a book recently called Do It, Let's Get Off Our Butts, meaning B-U-T-S, where people are saying, well, I would do that, but this is coming up, or I could have done that, but it does have in it things that people can do to figure out where they're going and how their comfort zone is getting in the way. I think it's a good resource or whatever. But also, I really think that that's the type of thing that people need to think about is that it needs to be
You know, if somebody's feeling comfortable and they're not actually out there doing whatever it is that they wanted to do, perhaps the person needs to, you know, have some discomfort for a while.
Right.
And I do think that the long-term thing is where people can get immersed into that and really get over some of those plateaus. So that's just what I wanted to comment on.
That book sounds like it was authored by Judge Judy, something she would write.
Well, it wasn't.
Oh, gosh.
Alex?
Oh,
I don't
know. Mark was
next. Mark's got the book. Mark's got the book. Well, I guess, first of all, again, thank you, Board, for your service. I applaud your intuitiveness to recognizing that maybe there's something not right, and the first step of resolving a problem is recognizing that potentially there is one. I got just a couple of concerns. I have an issue with Fred Schroeder. This is the same gentleman that is the head of the National Blindness Professional Certification Board that certified that our agency is a professionally run agency. And also, he's the same guy that says structured discovery and the NFP philosophy is one and the same. So that being said, if you bring in the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. So if we're having a problem with this structured discovery center and you bring in a structured discovery expert to advise us, I guess I'm concerned. Secondly, I'd be concerned about who he's referring you to if there would be a potential conflict of interest. I have no evidence to substantiate that, but again, if he's referred to a structured discovery body, that would be one thing. And then secondly, my feeling is Fred Schroeder is an expert in blindness, and by him coming here, did he acknowledge that this is just a blind staff problem, or does he have expertise in sighted staff issues too? So we have to be careful. I think I said at the last meeting, this isn't a blindness problem. This is a communication morale problem. Now then, the second thing I guess I would say is, you know, we're struggling to find out, you know, what the problem is. And I feel like there's elephants sitting in the corner not speaking out. When we have a structured discovery method and we bring in a structured discovery guy to advise us, you know, we need to look at the methodology. I'm going to start to go down the list. Transition. You know, we have children coming out of the school systems trained in a variety of ways, low vision, you know, non-visual. It depends on the circumstances. Perhaps 10% of the kids that are coming out of the schools can read Braille. They come to the center and they're expected to, the only training they get is Braille. So they've been forced to abandon, you know, the last 15, 18 years of their training that they have received. So I see there's an issue from transition. We need to offer and supplement what's being developed out in the schools. You know, we have people in the schools that have four-year degrees plus a master's degree, and they're training our kids based on, you know, certifications, and then we have people that got a college degree with 600 hours of sleep shading, you know, thinking that they know as much as someone that had specialized in that field. So I guess the next thing is we need to look at the caliber of our staff. I'm not singling or criticizing anybody, but there are experts that you can go out that have four-year degrees in vocational rehabilitation, orientation and mobility training, and for whatever reason we're not hiring them. The next issue is maybe we're not paying enough. You know, if it costs, you know, $60,000 to get a master's degree with someone that's an expert in vocational rehabilitation, and maybe we need to be paying that. Third, you know, low vision itself. Only 10% of the population is completely blind. Now, maybe 50 years ago, the days of a healthy blind person and rehabilitating them with no vision, that was good and it was probably worthwhile. But we've been talking about multiple disabilities. And we may have people that, because of their other disabilities, structured discovery is not the answer. You know, and I know in the fields they're doing whatever they think is best, but the next issue is our center. Is it in touch or in sync with the rest of our state agencies? You know, if we've got counselors out in the field that, you know, realize what the needs of their clients are, and they're not getting sent to the center, that tells me that there's an issue somewhere in between. I don't know what it is, but you know, we need to be figuring out what that problem is. And you know, to me, the best way for us to improve our results is success stories. You know, if we have success stories, there'll be people lined up. We do have some success stories, but based on the numbers that I've seen, they're not enough. We have, for example, we are the first in the nation to quickly close out a case and call it unsuccessful. Maybe that's good. Maybe we've determined, looked at a person and said, we're going to cut bait and run. But while we are doing okay comparatively to other states, we are not doing that well. Our success rate is low, and then also the number of people that we're attracting is low. So it sounds like my time is up. But I do have one last question, and I guess one question. Has anybody asked Dr. Van Zandt on the board, does she feel that we need a consultant? And then the second thing is, I'm sorry, I have a problem when the staff are given control over the future of the executive director, because you know, that's not fair. I wish we could take every staff person that criticizes her and have all their clients sit in front of them and critique them. You're never going to have complete satisfaction. And my fear is, you know, you're tying her hands trying to get the approval of some people that are part of the problem. So, thank you.
Thank you.
Alex,
yes, please.
No, I didn't get an answer. Did anybody ask Dr. Van Zandt what she thought of if we needed a consultant?
I'll ask her.
Pearl, if you want to answer the question, go for it.
I'll answer it if you want.
Why doesn't Pearl?
The short answer is yes.
Okay. What was the answer?
He's brought the night.
Julie, you have the mic in front of you.
Yes, we did discuss with Pearl the use of bringing in a consultant, and I will. Did you want to talk, Mike?
Or you want? You go ahead. You can answer it. If you want me to answer.
I'm just going to let Pearl answer.
No, I'll let Pearl answer. The question was asked to Pearl.
That's the answer. Answer
I just need to make a comment, please.
Yes. The feeling is that although we could proceed on our own, that's always an option, that's something we could do, that there's no detriment to bringing in a specialist to help us move forward. And my personal feeling is that Pearl has a full agenda already, and asking her to take on this task, which is going to be an incredible amount of time, is going to take away from some of her other responsibilities, and I don't think that's fair.
Well, I don't want to turn this into a back and forth, but the detriment would be you're spending money that is intended for clients on consultants. Now, I don't care if it's bonus money from Social Security or whatever. That's still taxpayer money. And then the second thing is she should be doing those things, not worrying about what a couple staff people, you know, feel and how to make them feel great. That's my opinion.
Can you comment on that?
Yes, please.
Okay. Mark, the comment that I'd have about spending the money on it is that the intent is that after the money has been spent, that we'll be more productive. There'll be better clients will be better served, and so it is not a waste of taxpayer money.
So how much are we spending?
That hasn't been determined yet.
There's an old saying: before you begin the journey, you figure out the cost.
Well, we won't make a decision.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, what do you spend on Schroeder to bring him up?
Does anybody know?
You don't know? Pearl will be run out of a job if she didn't know.
She does know. I don't know.
I don't know the exact dollar amount.
So why should we trust you doing more? I mean, those are the first
things. Don't know how much we spent on pencils last week either.
Well, but you're the one that's initiating this. If I told you I'm bringing a consultant, the first thing he would ask is how much it costs. Do you know, Pearl?
Well, there, and let me have the
mic. Okay, go ahead.
Can we pass it
up? Yep. Thank you.
You're saying that? Okay.
This is one part that Mike referred to earlier, is that there's a wide range of services that can be provided by an organizational specialist. It can be, and his words were, are we talking 2,000 or 50,000? And the reason they don't have a dollar amount yet is they have not determined exactly what do we want. I mean, certainly we in the agency and the board are very mindful of cost and, you know, effectiveness of expenditures. We're mm-hmm. really mindful of that in everything we do. So I would just say the only reason there isn't a dollar amount in the air yet is they don't know. I mean, do we want just somebody to come in and do some basic training?
Did Fred Schroeder do this for free, or did we pay him to come?
Oh, we did pay. Okay, Fred came in.
What did we pay him?
Carlos, do you remember? I know it, but I don't have everything off the top of my head, so I forget what we paid.
His fee is $2,400 per day.
Okay, so, and he
$2,000 per day.
$2,400
plus travel and...
So...
And we pay the same for others.
Yeah, we pay consultants.
How many days was he here?
Three days.
So we're into this $7,500 plus expenses.
Now, if you want more detail about that session, we brought Dr. Schroeder in to not for the full staff scope, but to meet with myself, Carlos, Bob, and Wes Majerus to kind of big picture. He's not a blindness expert. He is that, but he's also an expert on rehabilitation. I mean, you criticized before that he was maybe blindness specialist, and these are bigger than, it's not a blindness issue. He's an expert in rehabilitation.
Okay.
He's got a lot of experience and perspectives and wisdom about management, and he basically met with us to help us to really identify ways that we can internally work at with all of our offices. This is what I talked about earlier. We're already working on what can we do internally to make some changes.
Well, I don't mean to keep complaining, but he's the guy that is responsible for the professional certification we have. We paid him how much? $6,000 for that?
We didn't pay him anything for that.
Well,
the certification entity at Louisiana Tech University, that's a whole other topic that really doesn't relate to the organizational specialist consultation.
But is he using that certification board to generate consulting?
Oh,
fees?
No.
Mm-hmm. No.
No, absolutely not.
Okay. I don't know. $2,000 sounds excessive to me.
And Mike wants that.
That'd be $500,000 a year.
Well,
for myself.
Just to add to what Dr. Van Zandt said, I mean, he's an expert in rehabilitation. Period. He
really?
Was
what center has he run? He's an
center. Mike is speaking.
Calm down, Jim.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. He is the former director, I believe, of the New Mexico Center for the Blind.
Yes. Not the center.
The whole agency. I apologize. The whole agency for the blind in New Mexico. He was also the former director of rehabilitative services for the entire United States.
And he's also first vice president for NFB.
So those are his credentials,
I think
we've answered your questions at this point. So.
Okay, thank you. Okay.
Alex, please. One second.
There should be a balance between the absolutely.
It's Alex's turn to speak.
Hello.
Please, thank
Hi.
You.
So I think that, you know, first of all, it's just, I understand that there's an issue because it seems like the individual that was brought in, it was kind of like a one-sided thing, choosing NFB over ACB. However, this gentleman is certified to do what he's doing. I think we want to look at the issues. Let's look at the issues. And I think, Mark, I wrote down while you were speaking, so I'm going to address some of the issues that you discussed. And then I have like three brief questions. And then the first is
questions
about the training center and being a structured discovery training center, and that being an issue. I worked for the training center for a year, and structured discovery was not an issue. I think without divulging too much information, there was about one client who had an issue with structured discovery, and you could say that that was some sort of a cognitive type of issue. And speaking about multiple disabilities, if educational services, if schools and universities had the time and resources to teach the way they wanted to teach, most reports out there show that they do something very similar to what we call in the blindness field structured discovery. So structured discovery, it's just a name. Depending on where you are in academia, you call it something else. Basically, it means you kind of teach a little bit at a time and let somebody figure out how to do things and give a little more information, let them how to figure out how to do things, and eventually you kind of start backing off. That's all that structured discovery is. So that's the one thing. So again, it's not an issue. The other issue is that there are, let's say if there was 100 training centers in the country, about 95 of them are not structured discovery centers. And if I'm not, I don't think I'm incorrect in this, but the commission would pay for other for people to go to other centers if they require it.
Yes, that's correct.
So that's, I mean, if they wanted to go to a center, if the structured discovery center was not something that suited this individual because of multiple disabilities of or some intellectual disability or difference, they could go to another training center. Now, I think the question that should be raised is, do clients have that information? And then that could be a discussion there. So maybe clients are not as well informed, and maybe that's an issue that some people might raise. But the commission does pay for the clients to go to other centers. They have done it in the past. And I think they'll continue, you know, there's no reason why they shouldn't do it in the future. So this is where I'm going to sort of stop commentary on that and then just ask the three brief questions. The first is, can there be a strategic plan to serve more minorities? Or if it already exists, you know, is that something that we could know about?
Do you want me to answer that?
I didn't hear the question.
Could you repeat the question?
Is there a more strategic plan?
The question is whether there could be, or maybe there is, a strategic plan for providing more or services to more people of minorities, right? Is that your question?
That is correct.
Okay. The answer is yes. And a couple of years ago, we instituted project or a methodology to do much more outreach to whether the groups that represent different populations and or whether it's organizations or areas of a town or a part of the rural area. Each district, sorry, I'm not explaining this very well, but each district has a spreadsheet that we have listed all of the key groups or organizations or entities or whatever, and then there's a specific plan for when they're going to be contacted, and then the counselors in those areas fill in the report that they've done that, and so that we don't forget any groups or, you know, and as we think of new, if we hear about some new entity or organization, then we would add that to the list. And those are sent to Bob Deaton every year, or is it twice a year?
Well, actually, quarter? They're posted on the W Drive.
Well, yeah, they're on the W Drive, and so.
I just downloaded them at the end of the year.
Okay. On a regular basis, as people make the contact, they're supposed to be filling those in, and I think they do. Bob looks at it once a year to do some federal reports, but we also look at it kind of ongoing to see where are we falling down in any area. And also in the office meetings, they talk about how can we provide better outreach here and there around the state. So that is in place. If you have ideas to enhance that, we certainly, we can always willing to listen to new ideas. And also, I serve on the Lincoln Mayor's multiculturally advisory committee. So that helps. It's local, just Lincoln, but that's another thing that we that I think helps with that outreach.
Dr. Ansett.
Yes, sir.
Might as well just stay right here. Just stay right here.
Okay.
The another thing, and granted it's local to Omaha, but isn't that one of the goals of us being co-located in workforce development in Omaha, is that we're reaching out to minorities that otherwise would feel uncomfortable or would not have come into our offices without that co-location existing?
Definitely. Thank you. Okay.
Alex? Just one more brief question. I'm going to skip the other one. In terms of the organizational specialist, did we look at people in Lincoln that can do this?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Three different companies in Lincoln. One of them refused. One of the ones that decided they didn't want to do it.
I think they heard. Okay. Yeah. And I do want to just mention, I think there was, I heard definite concern earlier that who was Dr. Schroeder referring us to, and that's not the case. I mean, that's not, he wasn't suggesting other people. Now, Julie, there's a hand in the back. Do you?
There was someone that wanted to speak after Alex.
I did. I know.
Oh, okay.
Connie.
Yeah,
and then.
Was Kendra, did you want to speak? Yeah, I want to know how many.
Hold on.
So Connie and Kendra and.
That was the hand.
That's the two? Okay, so we'll go with Connie first. I'll take them in order.
Okay. I just wanted to say, in response to Mark's comments, when staff do provide input on the evaluation, also we seek feedback from clients about how their services are. So we want that really a lot because, and the counselors do too, they want to know what they could do better and things like that. So we do seek feedback from our clients about our counselors' performances as well. And as far, I guess, that's all I can remember right now.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, we'll go to
that. One more thing.
Sure.
I just remembered. Okay.
You know, and Mark had made some comments about using Fred Schroeder from the NFB. And we seek out sources everywhere, and I guess if we were thinking that we wouldn't use this person because he's associated with the NFB, we wouldn't look at the instrument that Paulette provided, to us either.
Well, I guess, can I just clarify? I don't want to take the floor. I was more concerned because he's the head of the board that certified our agency, and now we have the need to bring in outside consultants. The NFB was just another incidence of what I thought was a conflict of interest.
He certified our training center.
He, the board.
Yeah, not he, the board. The Blindness Professional Certification Board certified our training center, not the agency.
But the state agency adheres to the same standards of structured discovery throughout the center. Is that what it says on the website?
It says that our training center is certified by the Blindness Professional Certification Board.
It never used to say that until I brought it up, but it said the state agency was certified. Do you remember that?
Mark is accurate, guys.
That was the wording we realized, thanks
well,
to your
clarification. Well, he's parsing words now.
Anyway. Yeah, well, okay. The wording was wrong initially.
It has been corrected.
You corrected it, and we fixed it.
Okay, I get all our staff is trained through the center, right, using structured discovery. Do we have low vision training anywhere, any certification?
We do. We recently had a low vision specialist
We recently had low vision specialist Elaine come in and do training, and we do not deny low vision services to our clients. We provide CCTVs, magnifiers. We offer services based on their needs. So if they don't want to use sleep shades or use a cane, it is never forced upon them. And they know that that's what it's going to require if they go to the center, and they have the choice of going to another center. So, yeah, we do provide a lot. In most of our clients, we do provide low vision services.
Okay, well, since you're talking to me, all of your staff is trained in low vision then?
Yes.
Even your blind staff?
Yes.
How did they do that?
I think that's beyond the scope of where we're at today. And we're
the sighted people have to wear sleep shades, right, to learn non-visual? Mm-hmm. But you're right, it's beyond the scope.
Okay, so let's move on to Kenda. Yes?
How many, you say you've been working on the racially multiculturally mixed, developing that kind of response among these various areas with our clients? How many multicultural or racially mixed people have you had there in the past 2 years? I can name three.
Within the agency.
You mean clients within the agency, or you mean at the center, or what?
At the center.
Oh, really quite a lot in the center.
Yeah, I was thinking,
If you want to report later, we can do that, but...
That's fine.
I mean, right now, there's three...
there's some confidentiality.
That's confidentiality issues, but... Given the composition of Nebraska in terms of ethnicity and so on, we have a very diverse population of clients. Mm-hmm. And it's something we always, traditionally, research shows that people from minorities are much less likely to get involved with rehabilitation agencies than the majority populations. And so we strive to do extra efforts so that we do outreach to people that might otherwise not come to the agency.
That's what I wanted to know. Thank you.
Thank you.
I have a question. I really need to address this, and then it's kind of the whole purpose, I think, for our being here. I try not to wear this stuff on my sleeve because I do care about the agency a lot, and I do apologize for my misguided statement last month about privatization. I mean, that's obviously, we wouldn't be able to speak in public if we, worked for a private agency, probably. The issue is that I see, and I think Connie and Conchita mentioned this, I think staff participation or input to the board is crucial. Let me tell you a story. We do a climate school where I work at school. Teacher morale is extremely low. We were told at our end of the year meeting that parents overwhelmingly approved of our school climate, so we were going to have to learn how to accept the fact that we're good, and yet we see problems and cannot address them. And that's what I find deplorable. Okay. And I shouldn't have said that in public record, but I did because I care.
That's true. Let me make a comment here.
Okay, let me make a quick comment, then I'll turn it back over to Julie. I heard somebody mumble in the back, and I won't identify who it is, about an equal balance of if an individual is brought in that happens to be a member of the Federation, then ACB should be consulted as well. I happen to agree with that statement, and it's not an NFB-ACB thing, it's just a balance of power, if you will, for lack of a better word. It says on the agency website that we're a consumer-driven organization, and if you're going to look at one side, you need to look at the other side. I did, when it was pointed out to the board that the agency was looking at bringing in someone to address or to talk about the accessibility issues of the of the new personnel tool, if you will. I'll be very blunt, and this can be printed in the minutes just like this. My hackles went up, and I suggested that if you are going to consult one individual, then you need to consult another individual that I knew belonged to the ACB. So I went to the website, and I forwarded to him the name of the, or them, or the staff, the name of the president of the Blind Visually Impaired Technology Specialists, whatever they call themselves. And I was assured, in fact, I got the email at home to back it up, that Wes Majerus and whoever else did contact Richard Villa and did get his guidance and input, and there was some even involvement and discussion with Mitch Pomerantz to get some further feedback. So, guys, that is being done. That's all I have.
Are there any final comments by the board, Pearl? All right, we'll take Bob's comments and then we're going to wrap up.
No, it's coming to you.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, too, regarding measuring progress and goal setting, I think, too, it's important to recognize that as long as I've been here, which is 26 years now, I think that we have been in a process of evolving culture and philosophy. When I first started here, it was felt that we needed to provide people with some skills, training, maybe some attitudinal adjustment. But by the time they finished their training, particularly from the center, we should be able to show them the door and say, well, so long, have a good life, and let us know what you do, you know.
Come back.
In fact, it was thought that it was inappropriate for us to do too much as far as the job search and that sort of thing. I think eventually we realized that there are significant barriers to employment, particularly on the part of employers, and we needed to be more involved. Not that we didn't know that there were some barriers before, and there are some clients who are able to take some information and just go for it without a whole lot of assistance from us. But there is a real spectrum, and we recognize more and more that there are some people who need our support, our guidance. We need to be partners through the process until they really are established in the work field. And so even though it looks like we're doing some of the same things, I think the culture is becoming more and more established all the time. And I think maybe 10 years ago, we still had staff who were divided in their thought that we shouldn't do too much. And there were other staff that were very much proactive, getting out there and helping the person set up the appointments and interviews and things like that. The culture is evolving still. You know, I see that, especially in the last year, it's encouraging to see the kind of things that are being done. You know, so I just wanted to say that, you know, there's some things that are hard to put down in a state plan.
Yeah.
You know, how do you describe an evolving culture, you know, changing expectations? So that's my perspective, and I just wanted to say that. Thank you.
Good job. Thank you, Bob.
Good job. Okay, that's it.
Julie, yes, you have something?
No.
I wanted to
one
more comment.
This is Pearl. This might be another area that would be a good future focus topic. But I just want to briefly address the business about low vision training. And that is, it was kind of implied that, at least what I heard was, how could you train a blind person to be knowledgeable in low vision, is what I heard. And the truth is,
We do. We train people about the different kinds of low vision techniques and equipment that are available and how to use them and what kinds of questions a counselor would ask a client. And those things are going to be true whether the counselor is sighted, low vision themselves, which many of our staff are, or totally blind. So I don't want to go into much more detail, but I don't want to just ignore that either. So thank you.
I wrote it down as a possible future.
Let me make
focus topic.
Let me suggest this. I'll turn it back over to Julie. We can hopefully wrap this thing up. I agree that probably should be a focus topic, and I'm going to, you know, we'll look at that coming down the road. But I would like to suggest that if it is a focus topic, that there are, you know, again, we're consumer driven, that there are organizations out there that deal with this. And I happen to be president of one of them on the ACB national level, and I can get away with this because I'm president. CCLVI would be willing to present at a focus topic if asked. So that's all I have.
Since I made the comment, and I'm sorry, structured discovery is committed to the mastery of non-visual skills. Anybody that's a structured discovery expert will say that low vision has its place, but not with structured discovery.
Okay. We're out of time.
Okay.
Sorry.
Our next meeting will be August 10th in North Platte. Our focus topic is technology, and I believe Wes will be leading us in discussion. Yep. If not, he'll appoint someone.
Okay, he will.
And then the following meeting would be in November in Omaha.
Oh, yeah.
February in Lincoln. Any final comments by the board or Pearl?
Only that the focus topic is actually on his position, and specifically the technology program manager position.
Right. Oh, it's technology program manager position.
Yeah.
Not technology in general.
Yeah.
So he definitely needs to be.
Yeah, he's got to show up.
Yeah. Okay, so that concludes our meeting for today. Thank you very much.
Yep. Move
adjourned.
Amen.
All right.